This lesson is from the course, The Theology of Heaven in the Book of Hebrews, taught by Dr. Lane Tipton.
The incarnation of the Eternal Son in the absolute beginning provides the background and rationale for the ascension and session of Christ in His glorified humanity into heaven itself. The biblical account, just generally, is quite clear that Jesus, 40 days after He was raised from the dead, was translated in His assumed human nature into heaven in His ascension, and is now in that glorified humanity seated at the right hand of the Father, interceding for His church. Look at Acts 1, 9 through 11. "And when He had said these things, as they were looking on, He was lifted up, and a cloud took Him out of their sight. And while they were gazing into heaven as He went, behold, two men stood by them in white robes and said, 'Men of Galilee, why do you stand looking into heaven? This Jesus, who was taken up from you into heaven, will come in the same way as you saw Him go into heaven.'" Do you see the repetition? Jesus was taken into heaven. The disciples were gazing up toward heaven. Jesus will return on the last day, visibly in His humanity, from heaven. You see, 40 days after Jesus' bodily resurrection, by the supernatural power of the Spirit, He was bodily translated into the glory dimension of heaven itself. The cloud reference is likely an allusion to the glory presence of the Lord in the Old Testament in cloud form. And the angels make a critical point. Just as Jesus ascended in His glorified humanity into heaven to inaugurate His kingdom, so He will descend in His glorified humanity at the end of the age to consummate His kingdom. This is radical biblical supernaturalism. The body of the resurrected Christ was supernaturally and publicly translated into the glory realm of the invisible heavens. That is the sum and substance of the ascension. And this event shifts the focus once and for all from Jesus' ministry on earth during His estate of humiliation to His ministry in heaven in His estate of exaltation. It's not the resurrection, but the ascension that gives us the pivot point from earthly to heavenly ministry. A second text that reflects on this, Colossians 3, 1 through 2. It says that Jesus has, in His glorified humanity, entered into the things above in direct contrast to the things of the earth. Notice verse 1. "You are to seek the things above." Why? Because the things above are, quote, "where Christ is," end quote. This is referring to the Father's house, John 14, 2. Jesus told His disciples while on earth that He would leave and prepare a place for them so that, quote, "where I am, you might be." And what is that place? It is My Father's house. It is there that Jesus has entered. And it is there that Jesus is enthroned. And the author of Hebrews refers to that place as where Jesus is. Ta'ano, things above, my Father's house. Back in Colossians 1:16, the invisible heaven. That's where Christ is. Secondly, the things above bring into view Christ, quote, sitting at the right hand of God. Now, this is the fourth, you could think of it as the third in sequence. He's raised from the dead. He ascends into heaven. And third, he what? He sits at the Father's right hand. Hebrews 8:1 shows that the right hand of God is the place where the throne dwells in heaven. And Jesus, as ascended into heaven, is now seated at the right hand of the throne of the majesty in heaven. Hebrews 8:1. And to sit there is to sit at the Father's right hand. Colossians 3:2, and the right hand of God, from Hebrews 8:1, both of those refer to what we saw in Isaiah 6, the Lord seated on the throne. But you can see now the logic as to why Christ ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father. Let me put it in a summary way. The pre-incarnate Son was seated at the right hand of the Father in heavenly glory. And now the incarnate Son has ascended to sit at the right hand of the Father in heavenly glory. The movement is from incoronation to session at the right hand of God. The ascended and enthroned Christ is now the object of worship among the six-winged seraphim, which we looked at from Revelation 4. You see, Revelation 4 is a disclosure of the ascended Christ seated on the throne in heaven, surrounded by angels and the spirits of the righteous made perfect. The six-winged seraphim worship and adore Him, extol and honor Him because He is worthy. Let me put this basically. Jesus Christ, presently, in His glorified humanity, is raised, ascended into heaven, enthroned as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. All glory and honor and power and might belong to Him. He will right all wrongs and judge the world in righteousness. Flashes of lightning and peals of thunder proceed from His throne. He rules all things and overrules all things for His glory and the good of His people, the church. No one can stop what He does. No one can hold back His hand. He has absolute dominion and authority in this age and in the age to come. He is presently in His flesh, raised, ascended, and enthroned as the great high priest who intercedes on behalf of His church. He lives in heaven to intercede for His people, and He promises to raise them out of this world, out of this evil age, and bring them where He is. He will not fail. He cannot fail in this promise. Secondly, He is presently in His flesh, raised, ascended, and enthroned as the prophet who speaks with infallible authority to guide His church in doctrine and life. His words are climactic and bear the authority of God Himself. They interpret His great deeds as king and priest. They interpret His rule over all things. And He reigns, of course, as prophet, priest, and king, so that the church says, worthy Is the Lamb the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the same yesterday, today, and forever? He holds the victory over sin in his righteousness and over death in his life as raised and glorified. Worthy is the Lamb. Now, just in light of that, to take it one step further, and relating it to his enthronement in heaven, the Apostle Peter, in his sermon on the day of Pentecost, coordinates the enthronement of Christ as ascended with the reception and outpouring of the Spirit from heaven. In Acts 2:22-33, I'll add that to our Revelation 4:1-8 text, Acts 2:32-33. Listen to this. This Jesus God raised up, and of this we are all witnesses, being therefore exalted at the right hand of God, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he has poured out this that you yourselves are seeing and hearing. Now, Acts 2:32-33, and the complex of events that constitute Pentecost joins in sequence the following events: resurrection, the ascension, the reception of the Spirit, and the outpouring of the Spirit. The last in sequence, which is Pentecost, is coordinated with the other events as the climactic capstone expression of them. Pentecost is climactic and final in the order they are: resurrection, ascension, and receiving of the Spirit of Christ. It is not a repeatable paradigm any more than the other events are repeatable. So when it comes to the relation between Christ's exaltation and enthronement and the reception and the outpouring of the Spirit, we can see the joining of the sanctifying Spirit and the regalizing Son as gift to the church. The Son ascends in the Spirit, and the two distinctly but inseparably sanctify and regalize heaven in that great event, in that great translational event. What the Son of God pours out on the day of Pentecost is therefore the endoxate glory of the Spirit and the incoronate glory of the Son. It is a movement from heaven to earth in the person and work of the Son and the Spirit, inseparably joined as gift to the church on earth. The pouring down of the Spirit initiates the rising up of the church in a bond of union and communion with the ascended Christ. That is the salvation of the church in union with Christ. She rises and ascends in communion with Christ by the Spirit working through the gospel. So the connection between the eternal Son's incoronation on the throne in heaven in the absolute beginning and the incarnate Son's ascension and session in heaven becomes clearer. There's a necessary connection between those two events. The Lord of hosts sits among the seraphim as the Creator and King, the incoronation in heaven of the unfleshed Lord. The ascended Christ sits among the seraphim as the Redeemer and Lord, his session in heaven as the infleshed Lord, as the mediator. Incoronation in heaven from the absolute beginning explains why Jesus comes from heaven and returns to heaven. Jesus condescends from heaven in his estate of humiliation. Jesus rises to heaven in his estate of exaltation. The dignity of his eternal person demands it. The glory of his eternal person requires it. And his enthronement, his incoronation in heaven as the eternal Son of God, provides the background for the necessity of him descending from heaven in order that he might ascend to heaven, and that his church, in union with him by the Spirit, might likewise begin to ascend to communion with Christ in heavenly places already in this age. And this sets the framework, sets the groundwork for our exploration of the theology of heaven in the book of Hebrews, joined inseparably to Christ as the resurrected, ascended, an enthroned mediator of the new covenant.
Thank you for watching this lesson from Reformed Academy. This is just the beginning. At Reformed Academy, we offer free, in-depth courses that will help you grow in your knowledge of God's Word. Join thousands of learners from around the world who are deepening their faith and engaging with rich, redemptive historical theology, all at no cost to you. Sign up today at reformedforum.org/academy and start exploring the unfolding message of Christ revealed in all the scriptures.